prepare our hearts for that. There's a beautiful passage here from Luke chapter 12 we're going to be looking at together, 22 through 34. I've called it the twin vaccines for the twin viruses of anxiety and materialism. And I think, in a sense, before you understand God's solutions, you have to understand some of our problems first, right? And these are idols. They're also evil viruses, you might put it that way. A virus is a good analogy for sin. It takes, it kind of invades something that's good, you know, you. And it does bad things inside of you. It sort of turns part of you against you, right? Cancer sort of does the same thing, right? And cancer and viruses are both perfect examples of a fallen evil world where things are not working as they should. In other words, when you start to think about it, and I thought about this for a long time this week, I thought about it biblically, and I tell you, as a preacher of the Word of God, I could not come up with an answer. Because my theory is that every sin offers some benefit, which makes sense. I mean, even in the olden days, let's be honest, right? If you're going to go to the idol temple, right? I mean, let's not be coy. You walked into the idol temple. On the left were the cult prostitute chambers. You could make a stop there. On the right was the buffet where all the barbecue meat had been brought, and you were going to eat together. And in the front is the altar where you would go and you would submit your request for blessing from the idol. Okay? That kind of makes sense. It actually makes sense now why people would worship idols, whether they really believed in them or not. But idols function the same way, replacements for God. They give you something. But here's the one I can't figure out. Maybe some of you can help me after the service. I could not figure out what benefit anxiety as an idol offered. I can compare it to a virus. It's something that infects you and it turns your thoughts sour. It's sort of like, you know, maybe you should think about something. Maybe you should give thought to your sister who is sick. Maybe you should give thought to the security of your job in order to work harder. But then it takes it down an evil path and a wrong direction, right? Where you start to worry and you start to work it over like a dog that's biting on its leg and it's hurting itself. Why would it do that? Just out of an annoying habit or whatever. I could not figure out any benefit at all, even a sinful benefit that anxiety offered. So the question arises, why would you do that? Why would you do that to yourself? Does that make any sense? It's such an evil and such a wicked thing. Why would you consume yourself like that by being anxious about something? It's a really wicked thing, but I can't quite get to the bottom of it. Maybe you can help me out after the service. There's a quote out there that I've sort of modified a little bit. Anxiety is interest paid on a loan you don't owe. That's how I modified it. Anxiety is interest paid on a loan you don't owe. Imagine going down to the check cashing station here, right? You know, these wonderful institutions here. And you went in there and you said, I need to make my payment. Here's my $100. Yep. So you don't own anything. Well, I need to make my payment anyway. Leave the $100 you want. Why would you do that? Why? I can't come up with a reason for that either. In the same way that I cannot come up with a reason for why you would be anxious about something. I know that we do it. I know that even at times I do it. But why? I don't understand it. But what I do understand is that there is an antidote, that there is a cure for anxiety. But before I get to the cure, let me mention the other virus that Jesus brings up here, which is materialism and love of money. This one is more obvious, right? I mean, when you look at earthly statistics, it shows pretty clear that those who are wealthy had a love of money. If they didn't inherit it, if they actually earned that money and actually did well for themselves, it's because they were ambitious. It's because they did have a desire to get rich. And you know what? They did. And so money and materialism offers a clear benefit. It's obvious to everyone. I don't even have to expound that one, right? But it's also a false lover. It's also a false god that offers you things, but it doesn't satisfy in the end. It doesn't give you what your heart ultimately needs. Only God can. The answers that Jesus gives us are twofold. The Father and the Father's house. The Father and the Father's house, or we might say the Father's kingdom. There's a great word in the New Testament that's used that is, it's not often translated as household because we don't get the sense of it in our modern day. You have to sort of understand Hebrew and Greco-Roman households and how those works, although we do have some sense of that. The household and the householder, right? The head of house, according to the IRS, right? God is the head of the house, and this is his household. The church is his household, his kingdom, the souls of his children that he's brought into this house are now secure, and they're protected, and there's the storehouse, and he's going to take care of you and provide for all of your food, and everyone works together as a family in the household, right? I mean, of course, we have our families and our households, and that's what you need to get a hold of, is that the Father himself and the Father's house are the opposite of these things. If you have a father, you don't have to be anxious. If you have a father who loves you, you do not have to be anxious. And if you're in the Father's household and you have a place in his economy, okay, you have a place in his economy, in his kingdom, then you don't have to pursue that sort of rogue dream, American though it be, of materialism and money. But actually, what you realize is that, no, God has actually given you a much better and higher purpose that you can work toward. And when you do that, you'll be really satisfied. You'll actually be really happy on the inside. When you chase after money, you will not be happy on the inside. Can I just put it simply? When you chase after money, you won't be happy on the inside. You won't have joy in the Lord. When you work for God in his kingdom, you will have joy, a deep inner satisfaction that comes from working for God's economy, God's household, we might say, not just your own economy or your own household. So these two idols or these two viruses Jesus is going to give you. So as we work through verse by verse here, I want you to identify the two evils and then identify how he's giving you the two answers to those. Are you ready? Let's do it. Look at verse 22 with me. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, nor about your body, what you'll put on." Jesus, I mean, these are the two most basic human needs, right? Even those things that we would say, we have a right to worry about those, because I don't want to be hungry or naked, right? That's a pretty reasonable desire, right? It's not really sinful. But what he says is, do not be anxious about your life. He doesn't say, provide for yourself, don't provide for yourself food, or don't provide for yourself clothing. He says, do not be anxious about it. Do not be worried about it. Verse 23, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. He wants to really get you to the things that matter, not this stuff, right? Or whether you have a really fancy lunch today or a really basic lunch today, he wants to get you to the meat of life. Consider the ravens, verse 24. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? One of the most beautiful verses in the Bible, I think. Whenever you're worried, all I have to do is look out at the birds, Jesus says. Do they seem like they're worried? They're pecking some seeds. They are just flying around. They're always fed. They have what they need, Jesus says. And if that's true of the birds, argument from the lesser to the greater, are you not worth more to the Father than the birds? You are, actually. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Okay? God himself is going to take care of you. It's the Father, right? That for anxiety. 25, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Jesus never sinned. He was perfect. He was God. And I almost get the sense that I hesitate to put it this way, that he doesn't understand why you would get anxious over things. Of course, because he's God, he understands everything about our sin, even in ways that I apparently don't. But he's sort of saying, why? He's kind of asking the same question, like, why would you do that to yourself? If you just stop and think about anxiety, does it make sense? And often if I tell that to an anxious person, they'll say something like, well, I just can't help it. I just can't help it, Pastor Doug. And the truth is, you can, actually. The problem is not solved by sort of focusing on the anxiety. You're right. If you were trying to do that, you can't just help it. You can't just sort of, you can't have surgery on a virus to remove it. That doesn't work. You can't say, today I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm already worrying about it. You can't do that. The only way you can get rid of a virus is you might put it different ways, the vaccine, the antidote, the cure. That also has to flow throughout your veins. Now all of a sudden, that medicine is flowing all throughout you, and it attacks the virus and it kills it, right? It attacks the anxiety, and that's the Father and his household. That's what you have to have, him and his gracious presence. And the fact that he loves you, the fact that he's going to take care of you, the fact that he's not going to let anything touch his anointed, his beloved, because he loves you. And nothing can touch you in this life except that it comes through the filter of his love. And that's really beautiful. When you actually understand that, it becomes a cure. It becomes an antidote to that virus. You will not add a single hour to the span of your life. In fact, scientists very definitively tell you that you will subtract hours from your life from anxiety. It's a very physiological, you know, proven thing, and they can lay it all out for you. Here you go. For every minute you spend worrying, you know, you subtract an hour from your life. Whatever the statistics are, they're out there. You can look at them. Jesus says, yeah, you're not going to do that. Verse 26. If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? What's the ultimate thing you'd be anxious about? Your death. You see people as they become older struggling with this, right? But if you can't change the moment of your death, God already knows when it is. It's already planned out. You can't change it. So if you can't change that by worry, what would make you think that you can change anything else by worry? Answer, you can't. It does you literally no good. No good. Not a single bit. Verse 27, another beautiful analogy. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. God created all those beautiful flowers that you see outside when you go by an amazing garden, right? And you see all those things. It reflects on God's design, the fact that he is a designer. He is a beautiful artist, right? And he creates beautiful and good things. You can just look at those. You know, you can look at a peacock and say, wow, that is incredible. I mean, it's not just basic, it's above and beyond, right? That came from God. That was God's idea. He came up with that one. I'm sure he's proud of that, that he looked at his creation and he said it was good, right? He enjoys that. He enjoys giving the peacock his beautiful feathers. Would he not take care of you as his child? Would he not provide for your clothing and what you need to eat and all the basic things in life that you need to serve him and to take care of your family? Of course. Of course, of course he will. He will clothe you. Verse 28, but if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Aha. And now that's the problem, right? There is a connection between, we might say, the road from anxiety to the Father, where he himself and the relationship you have with him is the replacement for that anxiety. But the road between the two is faith. Faith is what says, okay, so you're thinking about a problem that you're tempted to be anxious about, right? And there's sort of a divide in your mind. You can start to go down two paths, can't you? One is the path of anxiety, and it leads to despair, depression. That's the end result of anxiety. The other path is the path of faith that says, I believe, I do believe that my Father in heaven cares more about this than I do, in the sense that he's got it covered, that he loves me, that he has promised the happy ending that there is there in Scripture. I know where I'm going to end up. I know I'm held in his hands. I know that nothing can snatch me out of his hands. I know that he's always going to provide for my everyday needs until the day of my death, which he has also foreordained. I believe that God loves me. I believe that my Father is going to take care of me. That's the road of faith, right? That's the division. So, when you get to that point in your thinking, maybe you're thinking about a work problem, or you're thinking about a family problem, or you're thinking about a financial problem, or whatever it is, be aware of when you come to that fork in the road. Anxiety, faith. Anxiety leads to depression, despair. Faith leads you back to the Father and the Father's house. And that's what he says, oh, you have little faith. That's your problem. That's what you need. You need to simply believe what God has already told you in his word. Do you? Do you? And verse 29, do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. Don't be scrambling, in other words. Always scrambling, always scrambling, always scrambling. Look what he says in verse 30. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. That's the thing that motivates the pagans, is money, material things, homes, etc. That's the thing that they're really about in life for most of them. But God is saying to you this morning, you don't have to be like that. You don't have to live that way. You know, just trying to seek out all those things to expand your wealth. Your Father knows that you need the basic necessities of life. And here's the answer instead, verse 31. Seek his kingdom and these things will be added to you. So that's the Father's house part, right? The Father and the Father's house. Seek his kingdom. There is something that you should be concerned about. There is something that you should pursue, that you should be passionate about. And that is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, mind you, don't when I say kingdom of God, don't think, you know, volunteering at church, although that is part of it, okay? The kingdom of God espouses 1,000 things that happen throughout your life. How you respond to someone who gave you a negative comment. You know, what you do with your money this week. How you treat your employees or your boss. How you minister to your family or not. Personal devotions, personal holiness. There's 1,000 things that are part of the economy of the Father that have a direct effect or bearing on the kingdom of God, which is the kingship or influence of God himself in your life, right? So pursue those things that make for righteousness in everyday living as well as in ministry itself. And there are those grand schemes of new churches need to be planted and churches need to be revitalized and built up and churches need to be having the ministry of the word and of prayer, right? What we might call the formal ministry and using your spiritual gifts to serve in the church, that is an essential part of Christianity as well, and you should be doing that. So all of those things together, his kingdom. And you know what? As you pursue that, these things will be added to you. God will take care of you. He'll give you everything you need physically to serve him. When you chase after those things, it's like happiness, and often even those things will often elude you. But after you chase after God's kingdom, those things that you need, they will follow you. They will follow you when you pursue God himself and his kingdom. He's going to take care of every physical need that you have. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray that together every Sunday, right? Hopefully you pray that prayer every single day. And this is what he says, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's not just his kingdom. This is beautiful. It's your kingdom. You have an important part to play in the household of God. You are now under the status of beloved child, exalted son and daughter, who's coming into a place of prominence in your father's billionaire business, this huge mega corporation, this empire that is never going to end. There's a very prominent place waiting for you in the family business, in the household of God, in the kingdom of God's never-ending glory. That's what he says. I'm going to give you the kingdom. It's my pleasure to do so. Therefore, verse 33, sell your possessions, you can give to the needy. You can never outgive God. You can never out-sacrifice God. You could choose to just give your car away to somebody who really needed it. You know, maybe you had two cars and you really didn't need the other one. You could just give your car away to somebody who really needed it, and you'd just be storing up for yourself treasures in heaven. That would be an act of service to God himself. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. You can just give something away. You can be very generous, in other words, with others, those who are in need, especially in the body of Christ, and you will be rewarded in heaven. We receive everything that you receive, heaven and every place or honor therein is of grace, in the sense that you deserved none of it, but God chose to give it to us. But there are gracious rewards that he gives. There are gracious rewards. As you do things for God and for his kingdom, they do not go unnoticed. Let me put it that way. They do not go unnoticed. When you make some serious sacrifice or contribution or sacrificial act of ministry or of your time, of your efforts, God sees that and will reward you, both in this life and in the next life. He will reward you, okay, in many different ways. I can't even get into all the different ways in which he rewards you, but in many different ways, and certainly in heaven, God gives rewards and honors for those who sacrificed, for those who gave, for those who honored him, for those who put him first and his kingdom's purposes. He will absolutely honor those who honor him graciously. And that's the beautiful thing. No thief can take that away from you. No moth can destroy it there. 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there will be where your heart is also. When I was 15 years old, I had a very big metal business desk in my room. On that big metal business desk, I had stapler, paper rack, pen cup. Sort of odd for a 15-year-old, right? I would sit there in business attire at my large metal business desk in my room, because my plan was to become a businessman and to have lots and lots and lots of money. That was my, I had it all laid out. I was going to go to the University of Florida, to their business school, then illusions of grandeur. Money was my God. Until your love broke through, right? Until God himself shines down on you and everything changes, because you're now living for something different, because you've been saved by grace. You don't have to chase after those idols anymore, because he's better and he's going to take care of you. And once you get that, once his love breaks through to you like that, everything changes. I must be about my father's business. I must be about my father's business. Isn't that what Jesus said? His is the best business to be about. How about some takeaways here? You ready? Are you infected with the virus of anxiety this morning about something? Dr. Kravendam, our beloved mentor, used to tell me, Douglas, do not worry. I said, why? Because worry is a sin. Just put it bluntly. Do not worry. Why? Because worry is a sin. Boom. Why would you do it? Doesn't add an hour to your life or a bit of good to any problem that you ever encountered. Why would you do it? Instead, look to your Father who clothes the lilies, who gives the birds all their food. In other passages, he says every hair on your head is numbered. He loves you, and he's going to take care of you. And if you know those two things, you do not have to worry or be anxious about a single other thing in the rest of your life. If you only believed those two things, that I belong to my Father, and that he loves me and is going to take care of me, right? Are you infected with the virus of materialism, of the love and pursuit of money? What if you could put your hand in your pocket like this, and every time you took it out, there was a gold coin worth $1,500? As many times as you put your hand into your pocket and you pulled it out, there was a gold coin worth $1,500. Would you ever worry about paying the rent again? About making your mortgage payment? No, you would not. That would be silly. You would no longer be anxious. Why? Because you knew that you were provided for. But if your father is a billionaire, if he's rich, very rich, do you ever worry about paying the bills? No, I can assure you, you're not. Does he not own the cattle on 1,000 hills? If God owns everything that you see here in the world, is it not his pleasure to give to his children the kingdom? The meek shall inherit the earth, right? He will give you everything that you need. And if you actually believe that, you would not only not worry about money, but you would not pursue it either. Because even the paycheck that you get, even the house that you own, you're holding for the bank anyway, Actually, who does it belong to? Not the bank. It actually belongs to God. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to the bank. It belongs to God. Now, use it for his kingdom. Use it for the household of faith. Use it to bless other people. Sell something on eBay and give it away. Donate the money to some cause that is of the kingdom of God, right? And as you do that, you'll have reward in heaven. Your Father will take care of you. You pursue him, and he adds to you all the things you need. The food on your table, the clothing that you wear, the shelter over your head, the transportation that you need. Everything will be taken care of by him. If you believe that you have something better, the better replacement for those idols, right, of a father, and of working together with him in the Father's household, in the Father's kingdom. And that is the best place to be. If you finally come to the point where you accept that you are a beloved child of the Most High God, and that he will take care of all of your needs because you're now in his household, that's the place of faith. And you'll never have to worry, and you'll never have to love and chase money again if you can come to that place. But I don't think that you really understand how much he loves you, do you? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray this morning that you would dawn upon us the light of your love, the truth of our reality in Christ as beloved children now in your household, Father. You love us and you're going to take care of every need that we have as we pursue you. And even graciously reward us and give us a place of honor within that kingdom, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We receive that by faith this morning. We will believe that you are our Father in heaven who loves us and provides everything for us. And you have a place for us in your kingdom. And if we believe those two things, we'll never have to worry again about anything. And we'll never have to chase money or material things again. We rejoice in that this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.